This is Omni646, and I'm inviting you to ride out with me on the rhythmic ride this Saturday and every Sunday from 10 p.m. to midnight. We will listen to all types of music along the sonic spectrum, everything from rock to hip-hop to R&B to rap. And you know what? We will have a blast. So be sure to tune in from 10 p.m. to midnight this Saturday and every Saturday on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking are teaming up once again in order to bring you our 5th annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair on Saturday, March 23rd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Henry Ford Community College Student and Culinary Arts Center. As usual, we are thrilled and excited to bring you this premier holistic event. This year's festival promises to be bigger and better than ever. If you would like to join us as a vendor, reader, or body healer, please call 313-317-6540 or email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. Once again, that's call us at 313-317-6540 or email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. We hope you are able to join us at this fantastic festival.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. And now it's time on the Tuesday Forum for another edition of The Heights News and Views. All the important information you need to know about Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And now to your host, Ned Apigian.
Thank you, Jay. And our guest today is none other than our city clerk, Walter Pruszewicz. And that's the city clerk of Dearborn Heights. And today we're going to learn something, hopefully a lot about him, something about how the clerk's office works presently and his vision for the future. But right now we're going to find out something about Walter personally. Walter, tell us about yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Councilman. First of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on your show, and I'd also like to thank you for your service to Dearborn Heights and the fine job you're doing on the council.
Well, thank you. It's what I need, some promos once in a while.
A little bit about myself. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, some 55 years ago. I was born in the 7 Mile and Southfield area. Grew up in a wonderful neighborhood filled with a lot of kids after the war, and just a great place to grow up. I attended Immaculate Heart of Mary Catholic School for 8 years and then went to the Detroit Public School System. I attended Coffey Junior High, which unfortunately just closed not a year or so ago, and went on to Henry Ford High School.
It's all in the northwest part of town?
It's all in the northwest part of town, right in the, 7 miles Southfield, right in where Northland, near Northland.
Oh, okay. So you stayed in that part of town. Did you shift to someplace else?
Yes, I graduated from high school, from Henry Ford High School, and approximately a year after that, moved over to the east side, and right on the outskirts of Hamtramck in Detroit.
Well, you went to your Polish roots in Hamtramck.
Exactly. I went to my Polish roots and had just a wonderful experience there in the area. Started out living on rent in a little one-room upper flat, and I actually bought my first house there in around
this Davis is before you got married as a single guy. Is that what you did?
As a single guy, yes, right. Sir. I was 20 years old when I purchased my first house for the amazing price of $7,000.
Yeah, they're getting that way now again.
Yeah, unfortunately.
27 now.
Unfortunately. So I went on to college. I went to Wayne State for 1 year. And after that, I got a full-time job, and I went part-time. And
at Wayne?
At Wayne State. And as I like to say, I...
What did you do for a job that those 2 years?
Well, actually, the first year I was on a scholarship, so I worked the summer and was able to go to school full-time, and then circumstances, I needed to get a full-time job. So, as I like to say, I saw the renaissance of Wayne State. I spent 13 years there at night getting my degrees, but I was fortunate. I stuck it out, and I received a bachelor's of accounting degree and went on and got my MBA with a concentration in finance.
All at night?
Yes, sir.
Only your first year with a scholarship you went days?
That's correct.
Where'd you work? What'd you do for that time when you're those 13 years? You work in the auto plants or something?
No, I started out actually, I worked at downtown, now where the Athenaeum Hotel stands.
Okay.
And it was called National Drug Wholesale. And it was a company that furnished products to the drugstores. And I worked there for about a year, and I packed items there. Then I went on, and I went to a place called Color Custom Compounding on around 9 Mile and Hoover. And that was a tool and die shop. And I worked there, and then...
The reason I'm asking is we want to see how this background is useful to us as the clerk.
Oh, it's...
See, it's very interesting.
It's been an interesting career I had. In 1978, I was hired by Wayne County.
And okay. Is this before you got married, or what else happened with you personally? Did you get married?
No, I was a late bloomer in that respect. I didn't get married till I was 33 years old.
Well, that's the right age. That's okay.
So
in the old country, no one would give a girl to anybody that wasn't at least in the mid-30s and had a career and money in the bank, right?
Well, that's where I was at that point. So,
which old country are you referring to?
Anyone.
Now? Okay. Oh, well, this is, of course, it sounds like you have extensive credentials for getting into being a city clerk, but would you say that an accounting degree is essential? It's primarily an accounting job, but there's some other aspects, of course, to the city clerk's office that might take you into, I don't know, public relations and communication and so on. For example, voting is under city clerk's office, and that's kind of an accounting job too, but I mean, there are several aspects to this. So you knew what you were getting into here. You had prior city clerk experience?
Well, I didn't exactly have prior city clerk experience.
His work with the county for 30 years is what he's going to get into to give you some background on that.
I did work for the Wayne County Commission, and I had some experience in that respect where I clerked the commission committee meetings. So I had that kind of background.
Which is what he does at the council meetings, essentially. Mm-hmm.
However, the elections was a completely brand new game to me, and it's interesting. You know, the background to do this job, I don't think you can really train for it. It's such a varied job. Certainly, my education helped, the management experience, my life's experiences in management in Wayne County, and so forth. But you're constantly evolving in this office, and you're constantly learning. And, you know, it's so many different things we do that people hear city clerk and they don't really know all the aspects. We license the businesses in the city. We take care of the pet licensing. We take care of the city council. We take care of death certificates. Of course, the most prominent area you'll see are the elections, and that takes up a lot of our work, and we're kind of like the citizens' sounding board. We're the first office there at City Hall, and people come in and they ask us where to go, what to do. So it's management, it's accounting, it's public relations, it's so many different things that you need to be aware of. And most importantly, I really believe this is customer service. We we really strive in our office to know that our citizens are our customers, and we are there to serve them. And most importantly, it is to take care of them and whatever needs they have.
Well, you didn't tell us you got married, and then what happened to you in your personal life?
Well, I
got you don't have to get too personal, of course.
I got my degrees, and I worked many jobs in Wayne County. I started off on road construction and was a laborer. I went to being a truck driver and did the salt routes and things like that.
This is all for the county. As a 30-year county employee.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
I tell people that I have this accounting degree and I actually never did accounting work. If you hear my career, I went on to be a foreman in the sign shop. And one of my most fun jobs, I guess, I painted lines on the road. So when you see those trucks going down the road, I was a foreman on that. Finally got into an administrative role in the county around 1996 and worked in human resources for a number of years. My last few years in Wayne County, I was assigned a position of a contract manager, and it was a kind of a newly created position, and I followed the contracts through Wayne County. So that was my career, and I got...
And Mr. Fricano was there then when you were doing this?
Well, my career went through the old Wayne County Road Commission, if people remember that, when there was no county executive, and then Mr. Lucas was the first county executive. Then Mr. McNamara and Mr. Fricano. So I saw the county kind of evolve through, different.
You can wonder what the difference is between the three. Was there any major differences in how things were done? Must be, especially from the Road Commission days, huh?
Especially from the Road Commission days. At that point, the roads were funded strictly by gas tax. They were a separate government entity, didn't answer to the rest of the county, and a lot of
now
people...
Now we got Public Act 51.
So, yeah, a lot of people think it functioned better when there was a Road Commission. It's a matter of personal opinion, but, yeah, there's been a lot of evolution through
and
the
Michael
county.
Berry was the chief. Muckabart.
Yes, Mr. Berry from Dearborn was
right.
Still
around.
The chairman of the commission and just did a fine job in managing the road commission for many, many years.
So what happened was you finished 30 years and eventually you retired from the county after so many years. And what was your last job and when did you retire?
My last job was... as a contract manager, I retired in 2006, and I went back on a contract in 2007. They never replaced me. The county went through some attritions and went through some different things, and they called me back, and I worked for about a year and a half and eventually ended up at the commission, basically due to my experience with the contracts that they took me aboard for a year and a half, and finally it was in...
Which is not unusual. We're doing the same thing. We're retiring people and then hiring them back.
Yes.
Looking to save money. A new thing in life, Jay.
Saving money?
Yes.
Okay. Well, no. If there's any money to be saved, that's, I think, the challenge these days.
Yes.
I wanted to get back, Walter, to the review of your responsibilities. And I'm probably wrong on this, and just like many of the people in public. So you issue licenses for various things, but not a marriage license.
No, sir.
No, that's Wayne County. Oh,
exactly.
Okay, got that. You said so it's pet licenses?
Yes, sir.
And other kinds of licenses? Not hunting license. No,
not state. Hunting licenses. Yeah. Business licenses and business registrations. All businesses in the city of Dearborn Heights.
If we can stop there for a second, Ned, I know you have an agenda, but the business licenses, there was something that came up in a previous show about some businesses aren't getting that license, but in order to do business, that is commercial business in Dearborn, they need that license?
That's correct.
It's a moneymaker, too.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, and at a certain part, he's going to go into some of the work he's done in finding out all these places.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
You say you serve a city council. That means, are you like a secretary at the meetings?
Yes. We.
Okay.
I have a individual in my office who is the city council secretary, and she prepares the agendas, does the minutes, files all the legal
notices
that have to be put out. We attend each and every council meeting, and we are there at the table. We take minutes. If the council people, we prepare these packets, which, in fact, if you're a Dearborn Heights resident, they're online. Everything that the city council gets before each and every meeting is online, and you can view all the bills that are being paid and all the business that will be transacted.
Okay.
The difference for me is the police bring it to me every Thursday.
Well, isn't that special? Okay. You've got to pay that parking ticket, by the way, Ned. No, I'm joking here. That's not the issue.
So now that everybody can read it online.
And of course, we might want to go over elections. That's always a big issue. It has to be done right, of course. And they're usually changing rules, like sometimes the state of Michigan, the legislature gets crazy. We can talk about that, I guess, more. But that's always an ongoing area that needs careful management and perhaps even improvement, too. Do you do tax collecting at all in your office? Do people come and pay their tax bill at your office?
Not at our particular office. They pay that at the cashier, which is part of
cashier,
the treasurer's office.
I see. Okay. And is the clerk's office not involved? I know in Dearborn we have our own separate city assessor, and that's also the same in Dearborn Heights? You have a separate?
Likewise, we have a separate.
Not part of your office.
Exactly.
Okay. But the cashier is part of your office? No,
no
it's the treasurer, you said.
Treasurer, yes.
Very confusing, but similar to Dearborn then, I guess.
Exactly. It's not much different at all.
Well, just a little bit.
Size and money.
Size-wise, yeah.
Budget's a lot bigger.
I guess one thing Dearborn has is a five-day work week. How's that four-day work week working out now? Has it been about 2 years that the city, your office, is just Monday through Thursday? Does that make an awful lot of work for you on Mondays to catch up, or a lot of people come by who couldn't get there for the 3 days before?
It has been a very adverse effect on the city as a whole, in my office and the rest of the city.
Jay, why don't we take – let me identify a station ID and who our guests are.
Yeah, no,
then we can get – that's very important.
Right. Well, I'm thinking of the post office cutting back a day maybe in August, and I would think, as you said, customer service is number one, and it can't help to not be available more often, but – of course, it can't be available all the time, right? Tell our listeners who and what we're listening to here.
Well, you are listening to the Heights News and Views as a part of this station's weekly talk show format on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m., presented here on WHFR, making waves on 89.3 FM from the student radio station broadcasting from the Henry Ford Community College, located in Dearborn, Michigan. Our guest today is the city clerk, Walter Pruszewicz of the city of Dearborn Heights. And I am your host, Ned Apigian, bringing you this program, The Heights News and Views, on the second Tuesday of every month.
Yeah.
And you can hear this program archived by going on the internet, WHFR.FM, and re-listen to this program and any others you might choose that find themselves on the second Tuesday. Now back to our host, and Jay raised this interesting question about the 4 days. Please feel to elaborate.
What sorts of things don't get done because you're not open on Fridays? I mean, obviously there's some maybe immediate questions and that people have all of a sudden on a Friday and they realize they can't call. And I would assume that when they are able to get in touch with your office on Monday, they're a little frustrated.
Really, to this point, it's on our website that we're closed, and, you know, we've announced it various times at the council meeting, and still people don't realize that we're closed. Many of the department heads work on Fridays, and you'll see when you're there on a Friday, a steady stream of people still coming up to the door and being frustrated. There are so many things.
The major problem is your backlog of your work. It's not the counter thing that's the problem, I don't think.
No, it's been an inconvenience on like funeral homes and businesses such as that.
You mentioned death are part of what the city clerk's office does. So you make it official that someone has died?
We do file. We certify the death certificates.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And oftentimes sign burial permits for the funeral homes.
Huh.
So, and then we pass those along to the state of Michigan.
Even if they're not buried in Dearborn Heights?
If they passed away in Dearborn Heights, yeah.
If they didn't pass away in Dearborn Heights, what happens?
You would go to the municipality where they...
Okay. Just like if you wanted a birth certificate, you'd go to the old Herman Kiefer Hospital in Wayne.
Well, you go to the hospital where you were born, but a death certificate, which has to be a legal document for, I don't know, for paying insurance claims and things like that, that has to be signed off on, of course, by a doctor?
Yes, exactly.
Right. And that, if it was part of a criminal action or something, that would have to go through the police somehow first, wouldn't it? And medical examiner, it had to be an autopsy? And
there are oftentimes, when the particular funeral home comes in, there's many items we have to check, and we have to check if the medical examiner was called, and we have to make sure the case number's on there, and that the doctor's signature is on there, and that... there is either a cause of death or sometime the cause of death is pending, and then we'll get a...
Is the object to take them off the voter rolls, too?
That's part of what we do when we receive the death certificate.
That's pretty important. That's a good reason it's in the same office, right.
Mm-hmm. We do take them off the voter rolls at the same time, exactly.
Okay. Is a person who leaves town obligated to come and tell you, I'm leaving town, or they just don't say anything, they're just not showing up to vote?
They're not obligated to tell us they're leaving town. We have people who are living in this past election for the presidential. We have people who are living in Canada and still maintain their legal residence here and are able to vote in the elections. So they can still vote. They're not obligated to tell us. We have people who are...
they go to Florida, too.
Go to Florida. But what I always try to tell our citizens, many come in and transact some business and mention at the time that they'll be gone for a few months. I tell them to call our police department. Our police reserves will go out, and if you are away from your house for an extended period of time and you let the police know, they will check and periodically come through and look at your house and check the doors and make sure everything is secure. So it is a good idea if you're leaving for an extended period of time to call our police department.
I didn't realize that the reserves were doing anything other than coming out to public functions. Then they have to be with a police officer at mass public functions like the festival. I didn't think they were doing anything other than that.
Hopefully I spoke correctly, but I know that they have been around in the past and checking, and I know the police do keep a vacation list.
Yes, that I know. But.
Well, can we talk about the business licenses and registrations that we brought up before? As I said, it came on a prior episode of this show about a month or so ago, that there was a claim made, not by one of our staff here. And by the way, all the opinions in this show, folks, are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, just so you know that. We're all speaking our own minds, thanks to Henry Ford Community College, though. But someone suggested from Dearborn Heights, and they'll go nameless right now, that a lot of businesses come into town and they start doing business, and they don't take out a license. They don't register. And as Ned said, that's pretty lucrative. So give me an example. First of all, is it based on size of business? How much is a license to operate a business in Dearborn Heights, each year?
What's the distinction between one versus another? Yeah.
Jay, if I could just mention you saying that the businesses, a lot of them aren't licensed.
No, some. There was a claim that some come in and do business, and they have not asked for a license, and that therefore there's money being lost by the city. Exactly whether that's true or not, I can't say, because it was a claim made by someone who's in politics in Dearborn Heights, not Ned. I don't know if it's true. Obviously, if you don't know about them, it's hard to track them down, though, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
What I'd like to say is, going back to your four-day work week,
okay.
This is one of the things that has suffered.
Mm.
The with a four-day work week, you have to prioritize. And for the last year and a half, we've had seven different elections. And nobody could understand the amount of work that goes into preparing for and wrapping up an election unless you actually work in there.
Plus, he has 100 part-time employees for elections that have to be managed and organized.
So that was all-consuming for you know, the last couple years with the McCotter special election, with the presidential, primary. And that part of the clerk's office did suffer. And what we did now, since the beginning of the year, we have, I have a wonderful staff, and I want to give a little shout-out to my staff, Eve, Jessica, and Cheryl, who just do a wonderful job. And if you have come to City Hall and met them, I know you would agree. But my staff went out, and we went street by street. We canvassed the entire city of Dearborn Heights, and we wrote down every commercial address. We checked it against our existing business licenses to see what was licensed, and I think we found in excess of 100 businesses that weren't licensed.
Oh, wow. Well, there was more than just a couple.
So, yes, there
was. At that time.
Yeah,
and,
you have to go do the research, like you said.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that we had the time and the resources to do it, we have contacted every one of these businesses. They have been contacted twice, and after the second time of no response, they are issued a ordinance violation ticket. And we are getting a tremendous response of having – our goal is, of course, to have all the businesses licensed, and we – I guarantee you we will meet our goal, and we are diligently working on this project every single day to get the revenues and the – many of these businesses are owing past water and past taxes, and we are collecting that.
Either I'm very naive or I never studied business very well, but I had always assumed, maybe like a general listener would assume, that if you want to have a business in a city, you buy the property, it has to be zoned for commercial use, okay, and, of course, you have to be incorporated as a business, and you just start doing business.
You need a certificate of occupancy.
A certificate of occupancy for the building.
So the building
is that what we're talking about? But there's also, it says here, what you also talk about a registration, too. And that has to be somehow approved. It's not automatic. And then there's fees to be paid. And
that's correct.
And how much are those fees?
Those fees range.
In this case, for your city.
They're varied. They range in, it depends on the type of business. There's a distinction between licensing and registration. Any business that is licensed by the state, such as a beautician or an attorney, they are registered. And those are
$30.
Oh, wow. No matter how big or small your law firm is.
That's correct. Now, when we get to business licensing, that's a varied schedule of fees according to your business. A takeout restaurant, for instance, would be $25. A sit-in restaurant would be $50.
A year. Well, that doesn't seem like a big deal. It seems like lattes at Starbucks or something, you know.
Individually, they're not a big year, but when you don't collect them for years and you're missing a large percentage,
I can guess if you have thousands, you know.
No, it's
businesses
not a gigantic
there, but,
sum. And if you ask me, if I had something to do with it, those fees are too low. They need to be increased. And the other question is, for me, assuming you're registered and you're certified, presumably to help the health, safety, and welfare of the public, which means we're just not an agency to be collecting money for just because you want to do something.
This would seem to relate, as we brought up earlier, the licensing and registration. This would have to do, and certificate of occupancy, have to do with the, again, building codes and fire safety and so on, and that would have to do with other departments. Do you have a building department?
Right.
Like Dearborn, we keep reorganizing it every year or two, so I don't know what they're calling it right now. I know they're pushing a lot of their inspectors together in the same category. It used to be just an inspector for business, an inspector for private homes, and apparently they're retraining everybody so they can do everything, probably.
I don't know if we're doing just the opposite. We're taking the ordinance department out of the building department and creating a separate...
Well, whatever works. I mean, obviously, Dearborn has more of businesses.
And there's and so on, later on in the program, he has some things, of future things that we're going to talk about that we're learning from Dearborn that are technologically. But the
licensing and registration is not so much, it seems to me, in my innocence here, about collected money, although it does add up. It's about knowing what's happening where. In terms of public safety and building codes and building ordinances, right?
Yeah.
So that's really why it has to be done. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of businesses object, and a lot of businesses have never been licensed in the city, and they say, why do we have to do this now, and what am I getting for this?
Doesn't make any difference.
It really, without the certificate of occupancy, the public would be going in a building, a possible hazard. So that's very important for the public and the employees, that they're in a safe building and in a safe environment. The police and fire need to know all the buildings, so if there's an event, that they know what's in that building. And you know, you want to know if there's hazardous material in there before you go in and so forth. So it's not just the fee itself, but it's very important to know all the businesses and know what's going on.
It's the information sharing, I guess. In fact, that fee, apparently $25 to $30 a business, at least in Dearborn Heights. Is that sort of standard in Dearborn? You may not know, but
that I
could be more. Okay. But that just seems like a processing fee. It takes the time for people in your office to get the paperwork in place and keep the files up to date and so on, and to share that information with other departments in the city that needs it.
I think you came up with a number not too long ago of additional fees that were paid that we didn't know about. It was quite a large number. Do you remember that, Walter?
Yes, we...
Based on your most recent effort only.
I don't remember exactly. I didn't bring the figures with me, but it was in the neighborhood of $40,000
exactly,
in outstanding water. And
the
business licensing fees since the first of the year was over $4,000 we brought in. And, in fact, from the council meeting last Tuesday when I announced those figures, two Tuesdays ago till today, we have brought in over $10,000 in associated delinquent bills and business licensing in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that does add up, doesn't it?
Well, significant amount.
The importance of it is recently Walter's department has been increased by one person based on an appeal he made as to how it was necessary for him. Sometimes you spend money to make money, not only to make your life easy, but when you can find $20,000, $25,000, which meets the salary of a clerk person to liberate another person to do something exclusively like this, and not only pays for the additional person, but generates additional income. We pretty much operate at the very edge of what it takes to do. It's not like we have extra people. I know the mayor has gone to conferences with his three top people, either human resources or the controller, and is dealing with other people, and they've got six or seven people doing
what we're doing in similar-sized cities.
With three people, and they say, is this it? And he says, yeah, this is what we're doing. So,
just as an aside here, folks, this episode of the Heights News and Views, we're talking to the city clerk.
Yes, I was going to say, it's time for me to re-identify.
And you can do the usual spiel, but I just wanted to say that certainly there's an email and phone number for Walter and in his office there on any of these questions. The email starts out simple, clerk@dearborn-heights.mi.us. Just the dash between Dearborn and Heights, it might be confusing to some people, but clerk@dearborn-heights.mi.us, and you could send that 24/7, but again, their hours are Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Phone number over there is 313-791-3430. That's 791-3430.
You know, that's an interesting thing. That email is the same for everybody in the departments. This complicated Dearborn-Heights.
It's a standard one.
It's a standard one they give to
all cities if you want to use it. Otherwise, you have to pay for something fancy.
Right.
Yeah.
And you are listening to the Heights News and Views. Hopefully you're being entertained very well. It's part of this station's weekly talk show format on Tuesdays. That's every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m. Presented here on WHFR, making waves at 89.3 FM from the student radio station broadcasting from the Henry Ford Community College located in Dearborn, Michigan. Our guest today is Walter Pruszewicz, the city clerk of the city of Dearborn Heights. And I am your host, Ned Apigian, bringing you this program, Heights News and Views, with our station advisor, Jay Kornick. And if you're interested in hearing this program archived, which is archived, you can read it, you can get it anytime you want, whether you're in Michigan or in Venezuela, and just type in WHFR.FM on the internet and select the talk show forum button and select the date you're interested in. In this case, it was today's date, March 12th. And now back to our guest for more interesting questions about what he has learned the clerk.
What's your interesting question up next?
What I wanted to do in this segment first, which we've begun to do, is what is it that you're doing and what have you, and now in this case, what have you discovered? You know, how you're doing this job. I know he got stuck when he got first appointed, is that all these elections came upon him at the same time. And those of you that don't...
Fall, of course, and the primaries before that.
Even mm-hmm. the small ones are problems, because when McCotta resigned, that created mm-hmm. a nightmare. We had to have an election for mm-hmm. somebody to have a job for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not only did it cost a lot of money.
And your city charter, that it says you have to fill vacancies on the council by a special election, too. Right. In Dearborn, we just go to the last election and look at who the next vote-getter was and see if they want to do it.
That's a sensible way to do it. We also can appoint, but in the past, you would think they were appointing a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, it's gone on for months and months and months sometimes.
They would not appoint, and I know I got caught in that situation several times. And
it's almost as bad as if it was political with Democrats versus Republicans. I know, I remember that. But coming up, this year is another big election. So
yes,
maybe you want to
especially
talk about getting
for us. Yeah,
getting ready for that. Wait, is this the end of your term where you have to run again this November? Or?
This is the end of my term.
Everybody's up almost.
Well, actually, it's the mayor, the city treasurer, the city clerk, and four council people.
Okay. Four out of seven.
Four out of seven. Our council people rotate on the off odd years, three.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 years from now, the remaining three, which involves me, would be up for re-election.
And must be the same day probably as in Dearborn. I think people need to return their petitions by May 14th, somewhere middle of May.
Correct.
Yeah,
to your office.
State law.
That's
correct.
Uh-huh. And we won't know until then how many people are running for each office. But probably like in Dearborn, I'm just guessing now that if you have like a certain amount, like double the number as there are places, then you have primary election to figure out who the top two are going to be, and that'll be in August, of course.
You're exactly correct.
Can we
hire you?
Well, it's a state law, but I just want to double check because I don't want to assume that Dearborn Heights is the same as Dearborn. Maybe it's better, So in some ways, so I want to make sure that we get the story straight here. Okay, and what do you have to do to get ready for there? Are there going to be any changes in
filing,
the machines or? Yes, go ahead. Explain.
Yes. I guess with some bit of excitement and some bit of apprehension, we're going to be going to the electronic poll books.
Explain what that is.
Right now, when you come in, you fill out an application to vote, and we look in a printed binder for your name, and we pull the sticker out, and we put it in the poll book that you have voted. We are going to what Dearborn went to about a year ago or so, if my information is correct.
Is this because we're sharing the tech department? They gave us this, or what?
No, actually, the
IT
secretary.
Yeah, the IT
Secretary of State has been encouraging us for the last several years to do this, and I didn't want to institute it when I first came into office because of all the different things I had to learn, and we certainly didn't want to do it before a big presidential election, and the time is right, and we got a grant, which all the notebook computers will be paid for.
Oh,
so
good.
It will not cost the city of Dearborn Heights any money on that. So what you
Who's
will do...
Who's paying for the grant?
The state of Michigan.
But the state of Michigan. It's not a federal grant.
So,
well, if they wanted to strongly encourage the cities to go that way, then the least they could do is try to help pay for it.
How does that affect the average voter?
I think it may be coming through the HAVA. I'm not sure, but it's being run through the state. Mm-hmm. How will that affect the average voter? Not drastically.
It just affects your work in the office, how you're working.
Correct. What you will do if you have a driver's license, you will just present it as you are required to now, and they will simply swipe it as you do your credit card.
Oh.
And your name will be brought up to see if you are a registered voter, and the process will be computerized.
Here in Dearborn, it wasn't that way in the major election.
Is there a ban on the driver's license to swipe? Is there an electronic coding?
I don't know, but it must be possible. Yes. It must be there, or they can't talk about that. My question is, again, the typical voter, is there a hard copy? How do you do a recount if this is all sort of electronic?
This is only for the application to vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. So take one step back. So it's the application to vote.
Right.
There is that.
Yes.
Yeah, but this
stripe
is
on the back.
An enhanced
okay.
license. I don't know.
Well, that's the first step, of course, in an election process,
right,
to become registered to vote. And then, but any changes in the voting machine process and during the election itself?
No, not in the machine process itself. Just when you come in to declare yourself to vote. That's the only difference.
Because I'm just always worried about not having some sort of hard copy and an electronic data. Poof, it's gone, you know, sometimes if it's not backed up. And even if it's backed up, people could change it electronically. So I know that. So it's some sort of card punch system that you still have.
Well, we have the...
it's optical.
The optical.
It's optical.
Scanning.
Yeah, it reads it, but you could feed it back in.
I don't know.
You save those cards for a while?
Yes. We have a retention schedule, which is dictated by the state, and for different types of election material, it may be 22 months for the ballots, maybe, but it's all different, and we actually store them in the back. They're locked.
Oh, wow.
And we have the dates.
I'm glad about that. I'm glad to know that.
We have the dates which are available to be opened.
Well, we do have physical recounts.
Rescan those cards, right.
Mm-hmm. Was it whose election? It was Bob Constant and Janet Badalow's election was...
The clerk primary was actually in 2011 was recount.
Right. So they have something to recount.
So on the recount, they actually...
The human beings look at
human
the card.
Human beings look at
candidates.
This optical scan and separated them to piles.
Okay, so they don't use the machine to read it. They read it themselves. Because maybe, like, I don't know, like the hanging chad issue. I mean, maybe it's like half or two-thirds filled in that little square.
Right.
And then there's a judgment call. Has to be that the machine would probably say no, but you say, well, it's pretty clear that that's what they intended. I mean, they filled in half of that area, and I don't know if the machine would see that as all of it or not, but... You know, that would seem pretty close to me, if nothing else was filled in, you know, if everything else was blank.
Well, there was Abdul Haq election with, I forget the other person's name now, there was a 1.1 vote differential, but in their sorting and counting, two votes went back and forth the other way, and turned out, they found two errors or two omissions in each pile, and it turned out to be one vote, but there were different votes. It was a different one vote.
Yeah, I'm sure that can happen.
So there is something to count. I didn't realize. I don't know how long they keep it. I would imagine after the election is 90 days. Isn't there a limit where you can ask for a recount?
It's 10 days after the election. So I don't recall.
Is it your office that certifies the election account as an official count, though, at a certain point?
To the county.
For Dearborn Heights, yeah.
For the Dearborn Heights, we have a canvas board.
Mm-hmm.
And if the election is wholly contained in Dearborn Heights, council, school board, we canvass that, and the official results are there at that night.
Okay.
We have four people, two from the Democratic and two from the Republican, that check over our counts and so forth for elections that cross city lines, the county does it.
I see.
What we do is we transmit electronically all the votes, the memory cards, the evening of the election, and then we have to deliver the poll books that night, and then the county gets together, and it's a long process of
a couple of weeks
that they do the canvas.
So the laptops are at every precinct. Instead of having paper, they got the laptop with a printout, or they get a flash drive and send it to, or email it to the county headquarters.
There'll be a flash drive. We will be going to Lansing, and we will be trained on this sometime in June.
You can take all those octogenarians with you?
Well, they're only allowing us two, so we will have the responsibility of training all the poll workers.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting thing on the recount, if I could just digress. If my memory serves me right, in the clerk recount, there was one instance where a voter voted and crossed out the original vote and then voted for a second, changed their vote, and the machine could not read the marks. So there's actually an attorney in the room and various county officials, and then they determined that that intent of that vote was for that second person, so that vote counted.
Even though it doesn't fill out the ellipticals, you didn't fill
it out. Well, it's not according to the actual rules of the way to vote. But I agree, if human beings
they're
look at it afterwards,
the
if there is a question, the intent of the voter, I think, should be the ultimate call. It's hard to figure that out, of course, based on what you see in front of you. But I'd like to believe that that's still possible, not just saying, well, the machine didn't see it, or it's not the way we wanted it done, so it doesn't count. Yeah. So, well, that's certainly going to keep you busy, at least locally this year, because of the mayor race and the clerk's race. Are you going to be running again, Walter?
Yes, I will, Jack.
Okay, he announced it right here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Have you taken out the petition yet?
I have, sir.
Okay. Well, don't forget to return it to yourself, too, to the person that's doing that. Can we take a sort of just a sidetrack here? How's the dog licensing business going?
That is going well. We license the dogs every February 28th.
So what purpose are they licensed? Just to know how many we have?
Because you don't have your own animal shelter as such, do you?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not.
You send them over to Dearborn? Or
actually,
do you have spare dogs or
Taylor
cats?
We
were dealing
happen.
With Taylor, and I think they're looking at some alternatives right now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All dogs and cats, if I'm correct, are required to be licensed by the state of Michigan.
Really?
No, it's a state requirement.
So,
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
I didn't know about it because I know in my neighborhood in Dearborn, we're not supposed to have cats outside at all. Of course, there's cats everywhere. But I've never heard about the cat licensing. But my neighborhood association has said no cats without a leash. Well, cats.
I don't know that.
Will not do anything on a leash. They won't walk. They won't talk. They get mad. They don't. Most cats can't handle leashes. But so that there are cats everywhere. I think the license is a great idea. Is there an alternative to maybe one of those electronic chips? Of course, you can't do that. That costs money. But I know in Dearborn, my cat, which I got from the Dearborn Animal Shelter, had a chip implant. That's the only way that they'll sell pets, provide pets, is with that chip. And
they're all spayed and neutered as well.
Right, yeah.
In Taylor, they make you pay for it.
It's very reasonable. It's very reasonable. Well, the Dearborn Heights Animal Shelter is run by a volunteer organization, and they really do a fine job. The city still provides them the building, although they're trying to raise money for a new and better one. But the city actually pays them just a small token amount, $10,000 or whatever, each year, and then they have to raise all the rest of the money themselves.
Oh, that's a volunteer. I didn't know
that. Yes, it's a Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. It's very successful, sort of like WHFR with our 60-plus volunteers and raising 60% of our money ourselves in order to stay on the air. It's just wonderful we have volunteers like Netta Piggy in here, who's part of our staff.
We pay $10 a semester. Big money.
Yeah, it's like licensing a business. He has to pay $30 a year
to be on the staff.
Yeah. So it's a big deal, I guess. Right, Ned?
Thanks to me, you got pizza at the last meeting.
Obviously, this helps in finding who owns the dogs and or cats if they are strays. But who picks up those strays? Who do you call? Ghostbusters? No, you call the city police maybe if there's somebody's worried about a big dog in the neighborhood?
Up until a couple years ago, Dearborn Heights had an animal control officer.
Oh, you did. I see.
And due to, unfortunately, budget cuts as we experience year after year, that position was eliminated. And
he's cutting grass.
Currently, the mayor has reorganized the ordinance department, and he has related that the ordinance officers will be cross-trained in animal control. So hopefully the city will get back to a point where you can make a phone call and get a response on a stray dog. Of course, if the dog is vicious, you call the police department right away.
Yeah.
But as far as strays, hopefully the ordinance department will soon be trained in that. And
so that's like the building department, the ordinance, everything having
it's
to do
separated
with the laws for your property.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah, okay.
The ordinance department is going to be cross-trained. There's been some concern that we haven't been doing a good enough job with the animals, so that's what's happening.
Yeah. I'm at the clerk website, Dearborn Heights Clerk. That's clerk@dearborn-heights.mi.us. And pet licensing frequently asked questions. All dogs and cats 4 months or older must be licensed. The annual fee is $15, and you mentioned it's once a year. So that's April 28th. They have to physically come in?
They can apply by mail. They can renew by mail.
Okay. Can't do that online yet, huh? Okay.
No, we don't have those capabilities. People have been
asking. Dearborn is slowly, but we're getting. We almost have everything online. Our mayor in the State of the City address about a week and a half ago, he made a big deal. Almost everything is online now paying bills and so on.
Before the end of the program, Walter is going to share some ideas of how he wants to do some new things and other things we can do like Dearborn does. Oh. So give hope to the Dearborn Heights listeners.
That date is February 28th, so it's already happened.
Correct.
So, and there's a $10 late fee. Ooh, my goodness. And can you have a pit bull in Dearborn Heights? And it says here, yes, they're allowed, but licensing procedure is slightly different. You have to provide photos of your pet, one front view and one side view. What, no rear view? I'm sorry, that's
mug
a bad
shots.
Joke, but mug shots, yeah. And a rabies vaccination certificate, and it's the pit bulls, I see, that are required to be microchipped. Wow. Well, that's all necessary, right?
The important thing is, to me, is if you lose your dog, somebody finds it, and they know who it belongs to, and you can retrieve it. I would think that's the most important part of all that. Since, anyway, Walter, you have some new ideas, it's time for.
We have about 8 minutes before the next show comes up here in WHFR, which, by the way, is a brand new Broadway music show, just debuted last week. So Joe is going to be coming in here at 2 o'clock. But I'd love to hear new ideas. Boy, are there any in this world?
For him to...
There are many. It's interesting, Jay, you mentioned our website. That website was just launched yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
We created this. We brainstormed with my staff on all the different questions we get, and we developed this website, and it gives you its frequently asked questions under each category: business licensing, pet licensing, elections. Gives you a lot of information. There's a who's who of your elected officials. So that website is brand new. And you're speaking of the city of Dearborn Heights. I'd just like to give some kudos to Doug Feldkamp, who spent many hours with me yesterday launching this, getting this on the internet. And Doug has done a great job with the city and his staff. So the website is brand new, and I hope it's informative. We've tried to cover everything, and if our listeners out there view it and have any suggestions, please call my office, because this is your website, and we want to make sure we get all the information for you.
Did you write the mission statement here? It's really a human kind of thing. Do you want to take credit for that right now? Or?
Well, I'm a great fan of looking over
humane, is it?
Looking over quotes on the internet.
Oh, okay.
I found this and I believe in it, and we live our clerk's office. We have, once again, I want to stress, we have a wonderful staff. We're like family. We get along and we do our work, but we have a good time doing it, and we try to make it fun for the public when they come in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a very realistic one, and you suggest right at the beginning, have fun at what you do. It be reflected in your work. No one likes to grump except another grump. We all spend plenty of hours at work. It's more pleasant to spend those hours with people who have a bounce in their step and a smile on their face. And even over the phone, they say you can tell if a person's smiling or not. Yes, you sound differently.
Absolutely.
But no, I've just been clicking on your portion of the city website here, and it seems all the links seem to be linked to something. That's good, you know, and it looks nice and clean. I think there was a little something funky about it. It's true, about a year or two ago. Last time I got here, it wasn't quite as easy to find some things.
All the forms are fillable on there where you could type them.
That's
on,
right.
And
you
print them on.
Click
and
to the forms.
Mm-hmm. One of the...
You can actually type on them. I get
yes.
those and I can't do it. I'm wondering what it's all about.
One of the things Mr. Feldkamp is going to help me develop in the near future is the alarm registrations. We're going to be able to have them filled out and submitted online. Hmm. So I'm excited about that. That'll mm-hmm. save the residents having to come in and... like I say, we just launched this, and Doug's going to be working with me, and that'll be submitted, and we'll be able to have that submitted to the police department and our office at the same time, because the police keep a record of each alarm system that's in the city.
Okay.
So we also...
Who keeps track of the lockboxes? The fire department?
The fire department does. Also, my plans, of course, we talked about the electronic poll books, which will be a big project. If you want to be an election worker, give us a call. There's an application fillable on the website. If you want to not volunteer, you get paid.
You do get paid a little bit.
You get paid.
It's $100 a day.
It's $100 and a quarter.
Yeah, it's a full day.
But, yeah.
12 hours.
A little bit over minimum wage. Yeah. Oh, 12 hours, so just barely minimum wage. Okay. Well, still.
And you have to be a septuagenarian, though.
You do?
They're just mostly...
Well, that's the people that have that much time available, usually people that retired, but, you know, I would assume it would be a great learning experience for someone just out of high school, too, if they wanted to be trained and be serious. I mean, get involved in civic activities as soon as you can, and as long as you know what you're doing. You know.
Speaking of that, let me mm-hmm. put out a pitch to the Henry Ford students, and we're going to contact the high schools. We need volunteers that would be willing to learn this poll book electronic system that are computer savvy to help our people at the polls. Mm. So I'm dealing with somebody at Henry Ford right now about getting people. So if you're listening and you're interested in that, call Walt at 313-791-3430.
Yeah, we could put a little sign up over here, too.
Also, Jay, if I
mm-hmm.
could...
Sure.
Quickly give you one of my ideas for the future, which I'm excited about. After we get done with the business licensing program and we have these business license, I've talked to the Dearborn Heights Chamber of Commerce, and my vision is to create a Shop Dearborn Heights website where it would be linked into our business website. And what I envision right now is maybe a paragraph about the business. We would have them categorized alphabetically and by type, restaurant, gas station, so forth. And if they would have a website, we could link to their website, offer a coupon if they so wish. So we really want to promote our Dearborn Heights businesses and be cognizant of the fact that that will drive our city. So
there's a lot of areas. I know Traverse City, for one, upper Michigan, like for tourist areas, they have two websites, one for city business, but one that the city sort of collaborates on, but it's for, besides hotels and special sites of interest to tourists, it's also for businesses in general, all business, whatever you're searching for. And I'm just wondering, too, and something we'll explore about how the new merger of the Chambers of Commerce of Dearborn Heights is working out and what they're doing in that regard. I haven't checked they must have a website, and I haven't been there yet. I don't know how much they're incorporating Dearborn Heights in terms of that same sort of easy.
Dearborn area.
But easy search if you're looking for a hairstylist or you're looking for a flower shop or whatever. I mean, it's got to be very, very searchable. And I assume they've thought of this, and maybe it's happening. But whenever you merge things, sometimes you you know, you have some areas of service that don't pop back or don't have a way to do for a while. You know, well, it's been great having you here today, Walter Przewitz.
Przewitz.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not Polish. Czech. I'm Czech, but that's different. Okay, it's way different. Eastern Europe. It's okay. And Mr. Przewitz, has been an honor meeting you, and we hope to have further communications too with your office.
Well, we hope all the information that people learned will find it definitely informative.
Ned, you can do the closing. Let me just say again that the email for Walter Przewitz is right here. It is clerk at dearborn-heights.mi.us, and his phone number 313-791-3430. And so, Ned, you can go ahead.
Well, I'll read our closing. And that will be it for this month. You have been listening to the Heights News and Views, presented on the second Tuesday of every month on WHFR Dearborn, making waves on 89.3 FM. This program is devoted entirely to issues of interest to the residents of the city of Dearborn Heights, presented from 1 to 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month, making waves in Dearborn, Michigan, from the campus of the Henry Ford Community College. You can listen to these programs on the internet at whfr.fm, or you can relist so that you can re-listen to this or any one of our other archive programs by selecting whfr.fm, then from our homepage, select the talk show button and choose the date of the program you wish to re-listen to. And today's date is March the 12th. We hope that you decide to listen to us again on the second Tuesday of next month. On behalf of our co-hosts, WHFR's station advisor, Jay Koronick, and myself, Ned Apigian, Dearborn Heights Councilman, good afternoon.
Dig deeper. Local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area on the new WHFR Journal every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. and anytime as a podcast from WHFR.fm. Join our WHFR news team as we dig deeper, making waves.
Hey, it's Brian from the Verve Pipe, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Best of Broadway. I'm Joe, your host, for the next 2 hours, and we have a lot of great musical from Broadway for you today. We're going to start off with a play called Finian's Rainbow. Since St. Patrick's Day is coming up, this has a little bit of Irish in it. Some of the characters are. And it includes